T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are doing this every Tuesday. They need to come hang out with Mooch and the missus.
That is called fascism. Okay, he is a fascist leader.
He's his own worst enemy. He's creating his own problems. You know, he's like one of those people who can't get out of their own way.
I don't want to be one of those Trump haters.
Okay,
I just want to make...
Everyone is a product of their upbringing and their personal loyalties. I'm a human being, and I probably got overtaken by the excitement of him winning.
The minute you called me to say, boom, as soon as I got that, boom, I called you right back.
Anyway, you lose the argument. All the ladies out there.
My mother's like, why are you cursing so much? I'm like, Ma, where do you think I learned it from?
We do this podcast. I go into the city. We have dinners together, or we'll travel. We spend time to be together as a couple and a family and as business partners, and I feel like it really helps us.
You still love me?
I do.
Okay,
do you still love me?
Very much.
Okay, I don't know if you have,
very much my liberal, hot wife.
Diana, okay. She's hot though, right? She's hot.
Beautiful.
She's hot.
Really are.
Like,
beautiful.
What the hell is she's going to say? No, sorry, she's not my type.
I have manners, but I will say you're a beautiful lady.
Well, thank you. So are you. Well, we're welcoming two people, I should say two guests, to the studio today. One would be Anthony, because
he's
never at our podcast.
This is unbelievable.
So
how
he's
starting.
Actually a guest alongside you.
Unbelievable.
Diana.
That's awesome.
And what?
Unbelievable.
You want to introduce yourself?
How about Happy Valentine's Day, Anthony?
It's not
Valentine's
Day.
It's not?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
All right.
It's early. Remember, I'm psychic.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
It's just Tuesday.
All right. Let's just see you next Tuesday. That's what I'm saying. See you next Tuesday.
And we actually have a guest today besides Anthony. In studio, we have Diana Navarro. Hi, Diana.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming in to see us. And this is one of our, well, Anthony and I love the topic of, not so much paranormal, I would say, but we love, you know, to go to mediums,
Hold on, step back though. Let's talk a little about Diana. So she has a master's degree.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. All right. He shows up. He's going to take over. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I just want people to know who we're talking to.
Yeah.
You go.
I was going to make it a fun intro.
Make it a fun intro.
No, go ahead.
I'm picking my nose over here. Let me just dig out.
Go ahead.
I'm
going to
dig out a big boulder. I'm going
to
throw it at you.
Awesome.
Diana, just block yourself.
I got some tissue. Don't worry.
You never know.
I'm digging out a big boulder right now.
All right, go ahead. No, seriously, go.
No, go.
Anthony, go.
No, this is your stubbornness.
So, hi, my name is Diana Navarro.
Yeah, exactly.
And
go ahead.
Stop. I really am asking you to go.
I had the pleasure of meeting Anthony and Deirdre very recently.
Mm-hmm. See, she's doing a better job than you.
Okay, go ahead.
You're fired.
Keep going, Diana.
What's happening is you, like, this is almost left brain and right brain. He was going to talk about the master's degree, you were talking about the medium part.
Yeah.
And this is a marriage of both. So I like to think that I'm kind of trying to use both sides of my brain.
You are unique in that most people are very one way or the other most of the time, right?
Yes. And I was very much intellectually inclined, you know, school, academics, nerd. Let's just call it what it is. But at the same time, as we go through different experiences, we get tested emotionally. And what I thought was a weakness, which is super oversensitivity and worried about everyone else, happened to have been something called being an empath, mm-hmm. and a psychic empath. And being psychic has 1,000 different categories. So an empath simply means I'm capable of feeling what other people and animals and environment feel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not somebody who sits there telling you what's going to happen tomorrow. But if I do a reading, and I had to learn the tarot for this, and mm-hmm. I go through that, I will tell you very honestly what I see. Mm-hmm. Because there's always this projection and forecast. But I'm like a weatherman. You can't kill me if I'm
mm-hmm.
But there's the trajectory is there. And then it's always up to you to use your free will and make choices accordingly. If I do anything to interfere with that, I will literally get sick and I won't be able to function.
Well, I was going to say, is it exhausting having these, you know, like super highly frequencized like feelings and emotions all the time. I mean, it has to be exhausting, right?
Yeah, I definitely suffer from chronic fatigue. And many, you'll see that many psychics that are legitimate have a lot of chronic illnesses.
Yeah, because I feel like illnesses. You're taking on everybody's stuff, and you're also just thinking 24/7 or feeling 24/7.
Definitely.
Which is exhausting.
It is.
Right?
It's because like, even when you're dreaming and you're sleeping, you tend to be a lucid dreamer, and you're really doing things in other realms. And you come back, you're like, really? Because now I'm more exhausted than when I went to sleep.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. And most people don't talk about that, and they don't say that, and they don't know that. Mm-hmm. Because they don't teach you how to protect yourself and shield yourself and really rest and self-care.
So do you know how to do that?
Well, I learned the hard way, which is why I wrote the book, a memoir called Oddball, because I was always a little different. We're all different. We all have our DNA, our unique signature. So with that said, I was wacky. I was, you know, an outlier and a little stubborn. And I didn't learn until the hard way that you have to take care of yourself, eat, sleep, rest, and say no when it's too much. Mm-hmm. On a regular basis, in order to restore your own resources, in order to help others. Mm-hmm. So it took a lot of decades. I just told Anthony I'm going to turn 50, so this is why I'm out here now talking about it, you know,
yes.
It's a century.
Mm-hmm.
And I am
50,
learning.
By the way.
Yeah, you look great.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's the sleep. I'm telling you, sleep more, stay young.
Yeah.
How much do you sleep in?
Okay, so I have something called idiopathic hypersomnia. I love it's just like this long word.
Okay, so what is that?
And that means that I'm always sleepy. It's a neurological issue, and it's a version of narcolepsy, except I don't fall asleep anywhere.
So you just feel tired.
I feel very tired, and when I do go to sleep and left to my own devices, I can sleep 12 to 24 hours straight. And there's a whole group of people that are that way. Again, a lot of psychic empaths are like that, and mediums are like that. They are always sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
And during that sleep time is when a lot of information comes through and a lot of weird imagery. And that's how I learned, you know, what sacred geometry was and soul travel
so
was.
So do you wake up and, like, write things down? Or does it remain in your brain? Because I know I have a lot of really poignant dreams and things that are very clear. And they're only clear when I wake up and then I lose them. But the weird thing is, I was talking to our 5-year-old son the other night. We were laying in bed, and I said to him, you know what is so weird? When I lay down to go back to sleep at night, the dream I had the night before comes back into my brain because of where I'm laying or how I'm laying.
Mm-hmm.
And I had forgotten about it for the whole day until
right.
I lay back down in the same bed in the same position. And he's like, wow, that's really weird, Mom. But
it makes
it happens
perfect sense.
A lot. Like
I love it.
5 out of 7 nights a week, that happens to me.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
I think it has to do with, like, I believe, like, in the shamanic tradition, I mean, I'm not religious in any particular religion, but the shamans and many mystics believe that sleep time is dream time and dream time is soul travel time. And I don't care what kind of sleep expert you are, neurological, medical doctor, nobody knows what really happens during sleep.
Mm-hmm.
No one, except you.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you're connecting back to a sector in your dreamscape is telling you this is not just some random working things out garble going on. There's something to it. So to answer your question, it depends on the dream. If it's something really like a surreal situation, because I go back and dream the same part
like
two, part three, four, five.
You pick up where you left off.
Yeah. I do write it down. And that is my book, After the Dumb People book. it's called Dreamscapes, because there were really strange and bizarre dreams I had about Antarctica and all these weird things that I had no idea about. And Hitler and all this weird stuff that I started seeing. I was like, what? And I started doing research. I'm like, that's weird. I truly had no knowledge of this, at least consciously.
Like you never learned it in school?
No,
never read anything?
Absolutely mm-hmm. not. I mean, I was more really focused on psychology and environmental psychology and work and clinical stuff, a lot of crime victimology, the crime victims work for many, many years. So I didn't know anything about that.
Hmm. That's interesting.
So I started, those
well,
I started writing down.
Do you believe in past lives?
I do believe so. I don't have any recollection specifically about my past life, But I do absolutely believe. I mean, there's just too much documentation out
there.
That
every single person has been alive before. That's it. So we're just not every single person. People.
It depends on the souls. It depends on the soul's evolution.
There's newer ones. There's older ones, right?
There's some that don't have the karma to deal with like we do. Mm-hmm. So that's whole research world out there as it is. I would suggest anybody go out there and start reading Life After Life or Pre-Life Planning.
Hmm.
And you look at your like Akashic records or your life script with your soul group, and you decide if
so
you're going to come in
or not. So there's this whole world that we don't know anything about, right?
Yeah,
this
is all or bits and pieces.
Verbiage. I've never heard any of these words or these terms. So. Yeah.
So your child probably chose you to be a parent, the parents, for very specific learning purposes. If people are struck with a disability or a disease or some type of illness, many times they chose that for a specific either karmic or learning lesson. So there's a thousand different reasons.
So they chose it themselves?
Yeah, we choose.
Interesting.
So there's a double-edged sword here because I'm like, I never chose to be sick. I don't want to be a victim of violence. I don't want to, you know. But we kind of come in with a certain amount of forgetfulness. Other one, again, that whole free will thing is disrupted. Mm-hmm. And I feel that free will is the one law that humans and non-humans, we should not interfere with. Mm-hmm. So
you can change your predicaments then.
You can. That's the whole thing. There's destiny, and then there are goals. So when I do a reading, for example, like a tarot reading or angel reading, whatever it is, they're just tools. Mm-hmm. You don't really need them, but it helps to have something outside of yourself. And there's a destiny card, and it says marriage, right? And you're like, well, what does that mean? It says, I mean, I'm going to get married. I mean, that marriage is in trouble. You know, all these things. It's like, no. These are the possibilities, these are the probabilities, and then there are the choices. Mm-hmm. And these things can possibly occur, and they must. And there's something really I feel in my gut, this is when I have to use my intuition, that I should tell you that you should look out for. You know, if you have a pain on your side, get that pain checked.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. If I hear a voice saying, don't mention the pain, then I shut up. Mm. So it's really tricky.
It's a hard job. Yeah, you have a hard job, I have to say.
Yeah, that's right? Why I went to writing for a while. Mm-hmm. I had to take a break. I was too sick.
Because, I mean, it's just a lot. It's like a responsibility.
It is.
It's a
you
hard
have people's
job.
Lives and secrets, things that they never expected you to know, because there's so many charlatans out there and so many people that mix truth with lies, and they just can read body language or they can do a little research on you with the internet or whatever, and they can just make anything up. That people are wary of, you know.
Oh, I was just having this conversation with somebody. We were talking, I told her you were coming in, and she, you know, she's, last time I was with her, we were talking about this psychic that she always goes to and that she loves. And I was saying to her, you know, send me his number because I, you know, I'm interested in that kind of thing. And I won't go to just some random person because it's, to me, especially, I mean, Google is like, everybody's best friend, so they could find out anything. Right, so it's like, I need to know the person is actually legitimate because I don't want to waste an hour or more.
Word of mouth is crucial, right? That you trust.
Right, so, you have to have known someone who had an experience, right?
I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot. You know how they say that, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to put you on the spot, but then I'm put you on the spot, right, exactly. So you can feel people's auras.
I can feel people's energy.
Yeah, and so people tell you.
So is energy an aura?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's basically...
Well, okay, you know, so we emanate. You know.
Okay, so I'm not saying...
I can just tell you right now how to feel your own energy. And it's not just heat energy. For example, if you touch yourself, you can feel your heat. That's
energy. Body temperature.
But if you go like this, just like create a ball with your hand, mm-hmm. and just gently and slowly and mindfully do it, you'll start feeling a little static electricity. Right away, you feel it. And you can do it with other people, and you have to be careful not to do it with other people because you don't, and you can do it with your spouse because you already are connected. But if you do it with a stranger, like I did one day,
you take on
I ended up getting a heart palpitation, and I have not been able to get rid of it. And he had a heart problem, and he didn't tell me. And that was like, I will never do that again unless I know who it is and I can really prepare myself. So this is just a little mini example of what you can feel physically. Mm-hmm. But you can also see it, you can perceive it. You know,
so
we
you,
all can.
So mm-hmm. you have a very good aura. And I don't just say that. I mean, because I'm pretty good intuition. We met you at the bar, turned hello to say hello to me. We got into a conversation. Yes. Then you handed me your book, which I went on to read the book. It's not a very long book. And let's just get the title of the book out there so that we have it here. It's called Oddball. And it's basically your life story. Mm-hmm. And so give us a quick summary of the book. Like, tell me why you wrote it and tell us what's in the book.
After doing many, many years of interviews myself, either on radio or counseling or advising at a college, people were asking me all the time, well, how do you do this? And what's your story? And where are you from? Mm-hmm. Where are you from is my favorite. If I had a dime for every time somebody told me that, I'd be a billionaire. So I was like, you know, maybe I should just put it in a way that I don't have to keep repeating it over and over again, because that's exhausting too. Mm-hmm. So, and they were like, well, really? Well, how did you become psychic? Well, everybody's psychic. I just tuned into it because of this. Well, what is this? Well, adversity. And what do you mean by adversity? Well, I grew up in the South Bronx, and, you know, there was a lot of violence, and this was, you know, in the 70s, and it was really ugly, and it was really messy. And many of my contemporaries, my Generation Xers, didn't make it. Or they didn't, you know, make it. They're like really messed up, mm-hmm. drugs, heroin, or in a really unfortunate situation. I grew up with a group of people that...
Where do you live now?
I still live in the Bronx near Yankee Stadium, actually.
It's better now,
and
Diana?
It's completely changed, but some of the elements are still there. I have so many aspirations. No, you have to. I want to do a little series on a group of people. I call them the walking zombies, and they're hoping to have a group of people that are always together, and they have their community, and they're drug users. But boy, do they have interesting stories, and you hear it, and you see it. So this is still there. These people didn't go anywhere. Now it's gentrifying. Mm-hmm. Now it's really, you know, the waterfront is picking up. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, the rents are going up drastically. Yankee Stadium, all those buildings are Art Deco buildings. They're beautiful. They have sunken living rooms. I don't know if you've ever been to any of them. They are gorgeous living spaces. Mm-hmm. And Yankee Stadium is there, and the big shopping mall is there. And so it really has changed. I mean, we have a Starbucks in the Bronx. I mean, really, that was unheard of. Mm-hmm. That's a signpost that things have changed. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like that. There were burnt out fires, homeless animals. You know, I still smell the fires. I still have the smell in my sinuses, that awful burnt-out building.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, the Bronx is burning.
And, you know, we were literally in the middle of that. But, you know, there were good people there, good workers, good teachers, good counselors, and they helped. They were there available for people who could avail themselves to them. And thanks to those people, there were a group of us that are okay. Mm-hmm. Many of my friends from high school are very well. They're doing wonderfully. They're all over the country. They have families. They're artists. And, you know, my college friends also. I went to Lehman, so I love Lehman. I love that school. It's underrated. I mean, underrated. And I love that school. And I met incredible professors. I worked with monkeys there. I work with pigeons. I learned so much about research and being a scholar. I was all left brain at the time. All left brain. It was like crazy. Or was it right brain? I always get dyslexic, you know, all nerdy and
left
all.
Brain left brain is math.
Yeah,
right?
Left brain.
Yeah, math, science. Yeah.
And astronomy, you know, science, cosmology, that was my thing. I was so interested in just the stars and the whole thing. I was going to help my mother, you know, do whatever she needed to do. And she got very ill.
What is your sign?
I'm a Cancer. So I'm an emotional mush. Mm-hmm. But I'm not the typical Cancer. Like, I'm not crabby in a shell, you know, I'm, you know, super.
You know what's interesting about Cancers? I know I have two best friends that are Cancers, and they couldn't be any more different. And I think that is one sign that every Cancer I meet is so very different.
Yeah.
And I know that we're all unique, and right. Like, nobody is pigeonholed into one thing based on your sign, but sometimes there are really, really strong elements of a sign that come through in everybody you meet that's under that sign.
Mm-hmm.
But Cancers are very unique, mm-hmm. I have to say.
That's very interesting.
Think. You're very different from them, too. So.
Yeah, so it's true. I know Cancers, and some are over-emotional, some are under-emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the first book I wrote, which is You're Not Crazy, It's Paranormal, was a result of going through a dark night of the soul and losing everything. And it started with my mother's death, premature death. She died at 49. 20 years ago, and a very rare cancer, and no cure. And I'm not sure now, but she was the fourth person in the medical literature at the time to have it. It was mm-hmm. called leptomeningeal disease. So that knocked my whole universe.
For a loop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poof, that was it. And then everything all cascaded and fell apart. I was in the graduate center, and I was still able to do a year after that, but I was no longer interested. I moved to San Francisco. San Francisco kicked my behind. San Francisco kicked my behind. Mm-hmm. It was the most unfriendliest city I have ever.
What years?
This was 2000. And I'd visited twice in San Diego just to make sure I wanted to go, and I loved it. I loved it. Mm-hmm. But when I moved there, it was completely different. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't get hired. I was overqualified, disqualified, underqualified. You know, it was
never
everything.
The right fit.
Never, never. I was too this, too that, not enough this. And I didn't like qualify for like, just basic services that everybody else qualified for because I wasn't a resident. It was just crazy. I was like, I'm really in a different alternate universe mm-hmm. or dimension here. Mm-hmm. And I really, the breakdown. I've never experienced this before. I always had a job, even if it was in Staples mm-hmm. or wherever it was. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, an academic advisor for years, a counselor for years. I couldn't get a job doing what I love. Could not get a job. And my brother came to pick me up, you know, really, like, literally pick me up and put me in a truck. And we drove back with my cat. And I was very, very sick. It turned out that I ended up developed a heart problem. I had developed chronic fatigue, some injuries that I had sustained when I was a domestic violence victim. All of a sudden, they were there.
Flaring up.
My shoulder, like, showed all this damage. And I couldn't come outside for almost 2 years unaccompanied.
Oh my God.
Almost 2 years at all unaccompanied. And then it was after 9/11 too here in New York. So this was foreign to me. Like my home was foreign. I didn't recognize it. Didn't recognize there were still people with the guns. And mm-hmm. I was like, this is New York? This yeah. is my home? Mm-hmm. Nobody cared. You know, are you mm-hmm. kidding me? I'm glad I missed that part. I was in San Francisco. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I think I probably would have been in the area. I was always in that area. I was always working around there, and it's still so devastating. But at the same time, you know, I suffered being so far from home and not knowing where my friends were, my family were. But that's a whole traumatic thing that the whole world went through mm-hmm. and we're still experiencing. So it was until after those 2 years.
Go back a second then. We're still experiencing the aftermath of 9/11,
a lot of
right?
illnesses.
We're still very traumatized
the
by it.
The death toll is a lot more.
We're killing more people are dying now yes. from the asbestos breathing, the metal that ended up in their
Absolutely.
Lungs, the blood disorders, right?
Yeah, but there's yeah. also.
It's also the world is still traumatized
and
by
yeah. PTSD.
Well, that's the thing. There's life before 9/11, and then there's life post 9/11, and. Yes. It's never the same. It never will be the same. And everything has yes. spiraled kind of into this world of high security and paranoia. Yes. And it'll never
lots of people taking advantage of that.
Did Osama
know?
Bin Laden
Ooh, making you jump?
Did yeah. Osama bin Laden win?
No, but it wasn't. I mean, number one, it wasn't him alone. It was a whole slew of entities that were involved in this. And but
right,
I think
did a lot of damage. Look at the deficit yes, spending. Look right. at the yeah. deaths in the Middle East. Long-term. Look at the treasure and blood that's been spent by America in those areas of the world.
Yeah. If you were to ask me if the balance shifted after that day, I would say yes.
Yes, I agree with that.
And if we have a lot of work to do before gaining, you know, balance, including climate change, I mean, that's just one of the side effects of all this stuff. We have a lot of work to do. All the people that have heart and soul and consciousness, mm-hmm. we have to become warriors. We just can't be just peace people and sunshine
and
butterflies.
No, yeah, you have to have a purpose and move on, whatever
and,
you...
And
yeah.
take action.
Yeah.
And be not violent, but be aggressive in standing up for our rights and the rights of each other. Mm-hmm. And
does Deirdre have a good aura?
Yes, absolutely. I enjoyed... That's why I was like, I have to give her this book, because I had a feeling we would have a lot more to talk about the paranormal aspects of... And I met you guys.
Yeah, very quickly. You
yes.
met me quickly, but I think you guys had a longer conversation.
Yeah.
But we met quickly.
Yeah, but yes, yeah. My best friend, Vinny. My best friend, Vinny.
Not your cousin, but your best friend.
I think every Italian has a Vinny. You know, what are you going to do?
But very quickly, during that time that I was at home and not being able to go, I slept and I slept and I slept. And I started having these really vivid dreams that I discuss and learning all this stuff you could learn in books. And I did. And I did learn in books. I confirmed that I can access information directly. Mm-hmm. We all can. Meditation and sleep. And I met one person and another person in the music community in New York City because I love to sing jazz. The old standards. And I met these musicians that are lifers, you know, been doing it their whole life. Those are the ones I wanted to work with. And I did. And one of them put me on his radio show. He goes, I want you to do magic cards, magic cards. And those are the tarot. And I did it, and I also did a few parties, like holiday parties. Then I was scared because, number one, I hadn't been around people in so long. Number two, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. I figured I could just use psychology and get away with it. But other stuff started coming through. And I would use like a little crystal ball. I don't even think it was real crystal. And things would come through about their families and what we talked about earlier, having information and privy to information that left me and that client stunned. How did you know I had a kid? How did you know my kid, that I looked through their drawers and I found their condoms in there, and they're 13 years old and I was worried about them? Mm-hmm. That was my answer. Yeah. I just did it. Mm-hmm. It boom, flashes. So I started taking it more seriously and learning the art of the tarot, the art of, you know, angel cards, the art of Yi Ching, although I'm not a Yi Ching expert, but to understand how a little bit how that all connected. And marry that with my research, you know, with my ability to discern and analyze and question.
But you have good intuition, though, too, in addition to the science,
yeah,
right? So why does she have a good aura?
Why? I think she was born with it, number one. We were born with it.
People
can try to tarnish it, and people can try to damage it, and people can try to take it away from you. We have a lot of energy. The biggest disease we have, you know, is a spiritual cancer. And later on, it manifests into physical cancer. Mm-hmm. And the metaphysical cancer are energy thieves. And they could be people. Unfortunately, family members are the ones that have closest access to us. And they're the ones who are able to, you know, we don't want to say that. It's our family. But they're the ones who have the strongest access to us and the closest access to us and the biggest lessons to learn from us and them. And if we don't shield ourselves from these people, as close as they are, they're going to suck the life out of us, mm-hmm. and then turn into physical illnesses and anger and aggression and what we know as diseases and mm-hmm. inflammation and, unfortunately, diabetes and cancer, high blood pressure.
So she was born with a good aura because of...
She probably just has it, her soul, mm-hmm. her higher self.
The emanation of the soul.
And as you. And then we come in and we experience certain things.
Right.
And certain things will knock you out for a little bit, and then you get stronger from it. And then certain things will knock your neighbor out, and they'll never be able to recover from it, and they'll give up, and at least in that aspect in their lives. And they'll just stay sub-level living, just right there.
Mm-hmm.
And you see them. They're walking zombies. Mm-hmm. They're all around us.
Mm-hmm.
And that breaks my heart, but it's also a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get up.
It is a choice, though.
Yeah.
It is a choice.
Ultimately,
break out of the thing.
Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You love people?
I think in general, I love people. I have an issue with evil people. I have an issue with evil people. I mean, what do you say? Those people are lacking soul.
Well, the reason I ask that is you write about it in your book. You mm-hmm. basically say that there's a lot of different shades of people.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because of free will, mm-hmm. there are certain people that are predetermined to do things that are nefarious or murderous or sociopathic or self-interested. And obviously, there's another spectrum of people that are broadly generous and love people,
yes.
right? But you see the energy... You can see the whole
spectrum
of energy, so that's why you hesitated when I asked you if you love people.
Because
because you know that.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it's hard to say that.
Yeah, because you know,
people, you know, what are you going to do?
Right, but there are like a lot of people, well, you want to think, it, believe it or not, there are people that really are not good, you know, which is hard to think. And you never want to sit around and talk about that. Like, I try not to mention that to our kids and stuff. But it is the reality.
But you need good people to act on the bad people, right?
Yeah. So we know on themselves and create.
We know from Dietrich Bonhoeffer that the a lot of evil gets done when good people fail to act collectively.
If you stay passive, if you don't create your niche, if you don't take action, I can't see somebody hurt an animal. You know, if I see somebody kicking a pit bull in the street or something like that, you know, I'll put my life in danger, and I can't. It's not even a logical thought. Mm-hmm. It's not even an issue. Now, because there are people that really like to just hurt animals, children, disabled, each other. They just like to hurt.
I had this conversation with someone today because a little girl, she's 6, went missing in South Carolina, and they found her, and she's dead.
Yeah.
And we were saying, like, what is it like that would ever make you want to hurt a child or
it's pleasure
an innocent.
They feel absolute pleasure,
so
they feel the complete opposite
off in your brain.
there's brain and their soul, there's like such a black hole,
so something
within
like
them,
that
they need
that would,
to feed off, right. And there's certain levels of sweetness,
right,
so depending on who the victim is, and the more innocent, like the child, the tastier it is.
But that's the same thing with like rape, right? Like I was talking to someone and they were saying rape isn't about sex, it's about control. Because we were talking about Harvey Weinstein. And so it's not about the actual pleasure of sex, it's about
that's a consequence, that's just, you know.
Right, it's about power or control over the victim.
Yes,
or whatever. So
the victims and
it's just a deep-rooted
Do you believe that people have callings? Do you believe that there's something like spiritually that,
absolutely,
you know, something's calling you?
Yeah.
It says, okay, you have to do certain things.
This is the thing. I don't think everybody has that, though.
I think that we're all born for a reason. Even if you're an infant and you live 2 or 3 days.
There was a reason.
There was a reason for that existence. So in that sense, that's a calling.
That's a calling. But I feel like some people have higher callings than others.
Yes, I do. There's different degrees of calling. For sure.
Does she
have some people that have a calling to be nothing.
Does she have a calling?
You're hilarious. You're like
her calling is to set you straight, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. High five. That's my calling in life, to keep him like alive and well. And
you didn't have to be psychic to know that, Diana.
Yeah. No.
Absolutely. To have to say your voice.
Have you know something where they were put here and it's like, okay,
literally have your voice heard,
right? And but some people, I think it's more like insular, and they're there to do more for the people that are in their immediate family,
right?
Or life, or set someone else up for something better, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Like, there are people, and that's their calling, to, you know, be a family member, be a good grandmother or a good you know, nephew.
So
there are people who are leaders, they're
right,
in leadership positions,
right,
like you guys are. You're here, you're teaching, you're telling
not
people
me
things.
No,
yeah,
I don't
in,
have,
in a way that is, you remember,
I disagree. She's
we
in
have
a,
to look at
she's
so
more
I,
of a
I
leader.
Studied leadership.
She's more of a leader than she
leadership
let on.
Leadership. Oh, yeah, I can
you
totally
know,
tell that.
No, but I don't have that calling. Like, I know myself pretty well, and I think I'm pretty in touch with a lot of things. Someone asked this recently, what's your higher calling? My higher calling is not, I'm never going to be someone that goes out and changes something in the world specifically on a grand scale. I think I can impact people on a one-to-one basis.
How do we define grand scale? What if you did an act 2 weeks ago, something you're completely unaware of? You know, you bumped into somebody and you said, excuse me, I'm sorry. And that's the first time somebody actually acknowledged them, said sorry to them, made them feel like a human being for 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And that was somehow had a carry-on effect and had a chain reaction. Yeah. And them feeling like a human being made them go on and do something. You've seen, like, movies and commercials like this. This is, like, real.
Yeah, that's real.
You know, and
you know, I believe that, because you know who was just like that? And I swear to God, I got a lot of his soul transferred down to me. My dad literally was like, so many people would say, oh, that's your dad? And my dad, I'm not minimalizing anything about him, but my dad was a parking garage attendant. But people would say, that was your dad? Oh, my God, when I met him, I loved him. He made me feel like this. He made me feel like that.
When you do anything with dignity and with heart and soul,
he made
to me, that's
so
the
happy
best
but he had
calling
effect,
you can ever have.
Right? You know,
in so many ways,
life.
He
yeah
was a great role model.
Yeah.
You know, because,
yeah, but by
you know,
doing
he loved
tiny
people
little things that were not a big deal, but they were just
and in some they were
people.
Right,
yeah,
in some I mean, do you want? So that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. So what leadership is not what we read in textbooks. It's not what we see in politics. It's not necessarily what we see in corporate culture. It's, you know, who really is, you know, there are people that are have like low level positions that are doing more leadership and influencing organizations.
You're right.
And they're not in official leadership position.
You're right.
And mothers are leaders. They have good mothers. They have to lead. You have a life to direct. Mm-hmm. And then of course their free will and their choice, you know, goes on from there.
Do you have children?
I do not have children. I made a choice not to have a child. And then, of course, sometimes you think, I have one egg left. One egg.
I know. Should I do it? I know.
And you really think about it. But I did not. And I have family members that do. And I just don't think I was supposed to have one in this lifetime. I just feel it. Mm-hmm. I don't know, speaking of past lives, if I maybe lost a baby in another lifetime or the fact that
maybe you just have too many other things on your plate that you're dealing with to handle that also, you know.
When you talk about,
I'm a mother to pets, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm perfectly happy, you know.
Well, then that's your answer, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I never felt the need. Mm-hmm. I never felt the desire. I mean, if I see a baby right now, I want to squish that baby and kiss the baby, and then I'm gonna give it back to mm-hmm. the parents.
Yeah. Oh, you sound like a grandmother.
But
then.
I did have foster brothers and sisters, so I spent a lot of time with babies, you know. So I have that experience, but I never felt that I myself.
When you do your coursework, I mean, you do your teaching and you do your analysis of different things. What is the advice that you give people about their lives? Seek their higher calling. Treat people with respect and dignity, right? What other things do you say? Because a lot of that was in your book, but like
take care of yourself. And learn what that means. And mm-hmm. I hate that the word self-care has gotten so diluted and. Take it out of context.
So can you repeat that for our listeners? Because it's not necessarily being selfish mm-hmm. if you've got toxic parents or you've got toxic situation mm-hmm. around you to detach a little bit, get some rest, you know, don't overly feel
extend
too
yourself.
Guilty.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
You have to have a certain amount
defend
of resources.
Yourself. You have to defend yourself.
If you are.
It's very, very important because a lot of people get codependent, you know?
Yeah. I was watching something on Discovery ID channel of a woman that was killed, unfortunately. She was murdered by her boyfriend. And she was identified by her family as a giver to a fault. Literally gave her things away, gave her family things away, Salvation Army. That's a person that didn't have balance. I'm not saying that's why she got killed by any means. But I'm saying if somebody would have taught her to care for herself, maybe choices could have been made differently. Mm-hmm. And this is for people who are sick and are dying and are, you know, feeling, why am I so sick all the time? Think about how you're not taking care of yourself. I worked 80 hours this week. Why? I got to pay the bills. Why? Because. Why? You know, and you have to start asking why, undefensively, mm-hmm. because people get so defensive. And that's the one thing. Just if you could just think that you're not being attacked, you're simply being asked, why are you doing what you're doing? What got you in that situation? Do you have any other options? People say, no, of course we do. Of course we do. Will those actions have repercussions? Of course they will. Will your life change? When you start taking care of yourself and you make that choice, are you going to have a credible backlash? Yeah.
It's so funny because I have a close friend who, she was working for this person for the longest time, and he's just off his rocker, right? So,
my favorite.
But she did everything for him, and she's single. She didn't have kids. She's a contemporary of mine. She's a tiny bit older. And she is very giving, very loving, very maternal, very warm. And I could never figure out, like, how she doesn't have anyone in her life. Like, and it's just this one person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she quit the job. And I told her all the time, if you go to the same place and you do the same thing and you're with the same people and you never switch up your circumstances and you let that toxicity just run your life, you'll never meet anybody. Your life will always be the same. So not that she did anything because I told her that, but she actually, for her own, you know, salvation.
Well-being. Yeah.
Made a decision. She left her job, got a different job. And right as soon as she did that, she met a guy. She is lost 50 pounds or whatever. She like has complete, like her life just came together.
Yes.
You know, and it's not like she did anything humongous, but
right.
She just did something small, like change her job.
That was self-care. That was taking care of her needs.
And her life changed.
And it's hard to
I mean, it sounds ridiculous.
No, it's, sounds, I mean, it makes perfect sense to me.
To leave her job.
Yeah, it's difficult to break habits.
Those things have chain reactions.
They do.
So self-care is a big thing, right? You write about it in the book.
And self-care is super. That's the part two of this book. Mm-hmm. And it talks about what that means. And some people, I'm talking about, some people don't have basic grooming and hygiene to the degree that they need to be healthy. Mm-hmm. And they wonder why they're not meeting someone, you know, like their this friend's relatively handsome and we'll go to events and we'll have to remind, you know, did you put deodorant on? You know, you have a nice shirt, but, you know, oh, I forgot. Well, maybe a woman or two or three are smelling that and they're not coming to you towards that.
Oh my God, that's like pretty basic.
You know, but you'd be shocked, the basic things. And, but that's one side of it. The other one is like your friend, like really career, life, habits, with things you do on a normal basis. People think that sleep is a weakness, and that sleep is a waste of time. And now finally, medical doctors, neuroscientists, mystics, you know, psychics, you know, behaviorist psychologists are finally doing a wake-up call, literally. So go to sleep. Mm-hmm. That's my newest passion. As soon as I talk, and I guarantee you most of the core of our issue, I know it's not easy when you have kids and you have jobs and you have multiple obligations and all kinds of things are going on, but there is a way. There's a lot of stuff that we're doing and it's a waste of time. Mm-hmm. And we know what those are. Mm-hmm. We all know what those are for us. If you take that moment and rest, maybe it's not a full sleep. Maybe it's just a nap. Maybe it's just, you know, just stretching, you know, whatever it is. There's, for each thing, each person. I don't want to sound like a cliche because for each thing, it could be something, you know, completely unique and customized. But there are things we can do.
And then
You'll never turn selfish. If you're not selfish, if it's not in your DNA, you won't turn selfish.
So that's the physical component, right? But then there's also a spiritual component.
Yeah. Yes, the emotional and
the spiritual. So what's the spiritual component that you recommend?
To rewrite contracts that you have come into this world to fulfill. You know, for example, if you wrote a contract, you know, I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to be a martyr. Adjust that. Maybe you don't have to be a martyr. You know, or I have to be, you know, I have to be tough and hard in order for people to respect me. And that means that, you know, you're abusive and it's and rough. And do you really have to be that way? Can you adjust it? Can you learn how to do it and temper it?
So some of it is don't be too much of a people pleaser. Some of it don't be too mean or miserable. Yeah. Some of it is it. But
well, it's different for everybody.
Yes, it's different for everybody.
And be more mindful. But the point that you're
making a physical and a spiritual connection through your life's work. And so, in a weird way, the thing that attracted us to you, I do believe that it's a little bit of kismet, meaning mm-hmm. I'm in the bar with you, you and your, Tony, I guess his name is? Vinny, I'm sorry,
Vinny. Vinny Mussolino.
Right. Every Italian's got a Vinny and a Tony, sorry about that. But, but then I come over, say hello, you say hello to me, yeah, we have a little conversation, Italy, yeah. And then you hand me the book.
Yeah.
And then what you may or may not have known about me, I'm a big reader. I like reading this sort of stuff, you know what I mean? And so. And then you emailed me. I said, tell you what, when I get back from my traveling, we'll do this podcast so that we can have this sort of...
And it is kismet because I love radio. I loved doing it for the years that I did. It was a lot of fun. Like, you know, we had the conversation, mm-hmm. like you said in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's something different about that kind of connection because we're not just talking to each other. We're talking to a listener who is going to take what you said.
Take something away from
and
it.
And yeah. meaningful.
Mm-hmm. So, but let me,
did
I want to.
Did anyone ever tell you look like Selena?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, a little bit.
You know? Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah. I guess it depends on the day. You know?
Today you look like Selena.
Interesting.
Well, that's a compliment. Well, yeah. It's a big compliment. But I think the thing I got out of today and meeting you in your book is take care of yourself. You have to put yourself first mm-hmm. inside of the ambit of the universe, so you have to care for others, yes. But you'll be way better caring for others or doing what your life's mission is if you're okay,
yes.
Spiritually, mentally, physically, sleep,
absolutely,
etc.
That's for sure.
And then the other thing I think it's also interesting is whether you believe in the metaphysical or not. So I do. So I mean, Deirdre does. I mean, I'm not speaking for her, but I mean, you are saying something that I totally believe. Is in free will and the unconditionality of your creation, meaning that for me, there's a lot of love in the process of creation because mm-hmm. if you got this free will, okay, now the issue is, are you going to impose that free will on others for harm? are you going to pose that free will on others for benefit? And if you pose on for benefit to those people and yourself, there's a tremendous amount of psychic, emotional value to that. You know what I mean? Not psychic clairvoyance, but I mean like mentally, you're like, soul, you feel so much better about yourself when you're able to, you know, I know in my physiology when I'm doing something that's really helping somebody else, maybe it's a selfish act for me because it makes me feel very good.
Hey, does but that if, make, it helps, that, if this is a win-win,
right?
Because I hear this from skeptics and people, isn't altruism ultimately selfish? It's like, shut up. Number one. Number two, win-win. Win-win. So what's the problem? Now, if you're, you know, altruistic for ulterior motives and not really altruistic, right? You're doing a favor for a favor or to get karmic points. I mean, then you're...
Well, one of my peeves is that, you know, my grandmother was a maid. So I try to consciously, every time I leave a hotel room, I try to... I'm not saying I do it every single time. Right. I'm not perfect,
human.
But I, you know, or the African-American man who is the... I give him $100... At our restaurant, the Hunt and Fish Club, he's
now
the belt.
Now you're telling everybody, so it's taking away your karmic points. Shh.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't trying to save it. I was saying that. All right, whatever. I won't.
But you were doing something that felt good to you at that moment.
Yes.
No, but I think it comes from your. I think it comes from your belt upbringing.
Touch him because of his.
Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm in the hotel room. I'm like, okay, this person, my grandmother did this for a living. This person that's about to clean this room could be my grandmother.
Well, that's how things become
Does
important
that make sense to you
or relevant to you or you're emotional about them because they are specific to your life or your life story. That's why everybody's so different.
And well, I think about how hard my grandmother's life was, frankly, so that I could have my life, right? She took the risk to come from Italy, you know, she...
And it's also in your heart because you can have a twin brother and that twin brother can see the total opposite. Like, she worked hard, I'm not giving my stuff away. Mm-hmm. You work hard too, that's your karma, that's
People
your problem.
People are so different.
Right?
Yeah.
So somebody could think completely different of that person that was, you know.
Right. See, I have a weird feeling about it. I think if you give it away, it comes back double.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it depends.
For
it
me,
depends.
It does.
Yeah,
I feel like that's always happened for me.
You know, I remember I saw like a couple of dollars, you know, in the street, and I went to get it, and some woman came. And she's, yeah, that's mine. That wasn't hers. It was just flying in the street. I said, okay, you need it more than I do. You know, it was one of those things where I was like, of course you're going to see a dollar, you're going to pick it up or two, you know. And I remember thinking, my first is to be a New Yorker. I'm like, wait, hey, that's my dollar. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, you need it more than I do. It's like, oh, that's right. She just walked away. I'm like, oh, my God. But I felt that there was no point in getting upset with her. She was in desperate need. I didn't need the dollar at that moment. I didn't need it. You know, it was there, and I would have taken it. Mm-hmm. So it was for her to have. Will it come back to me? Did I? No, I don't care. It doesn't matter. You know, she may not even know that happened. She may not have been even aware that happened.
But just do
it because it feels good, right?
I think it's brilliant. But I know we have to go, but I want to ask a few more questions. That's cool. When evil people get into positions of leadership, you mentioned Adolf Hitler as an example, they can have an effect on people, right? I mean, there was a great book 25 years ago called Hitler's Willing Executioners. Why did...
Yes,
25 or 30,000 people.
And I also know the author that wrote The Nazi Doctors.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why, you know, someone that took the Hippocratic Oath and someone that was there to care for people ends up mangling children and perverting science and eugenics. And so evil people can send an eminence out, like
Absolutely.
A beam to hurt people,
and that's
right?
That's defeating.
Yeah,
it's defeating.
Mm-hmm.
Defeating.
I think it's very important
off.
For people to understand that as well.
And there's psychological damage, and there's like there's insidious attacks, and people. We all have our weaknesses and our soft spots, and those people are, I guess, what you call evil geniuses, and they know exactly where to target and how to target it, and how to feed off of it, and how to pick at it, to the point where you're like, that person's right. You are right, and this is a way for me to get power, and there is something I'm getting out of it, and you are feeling a little good and worthy. All of a sudden, even if it's a bad thing you're doing. And it feeds off itself. So that has its own feeding cycle, just like good has its own feeding cycle. You know, love begets love. But evil can beget evil as well. Except, in my opinion, I'm just a human being like all of you are. I believe that love will always, it's just so much more powerful in the universe. What's happening on Earth right now, I don't know what's going on here. But it's up to us to be love warriors. You know, I feel silly saying that because... I'm such a past, you know, but I feel like we have to really stand up for ourselves and each other.
Well,
Well, we have to protect ourselves.
I've had this conversation with Deirdre, like, because it was a big moment for me that I was in a class 35 years ago, and the guy, he was British. He asked a rhetorical question. He said, "Well, the rapist is the alpha male, and so he comes into the village, right? He's now quote unquote raping people. Shouldn't his genes be the ones that progress because he's the alpha male?" Mm-hmm. And but yet, then they showed this slide that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't it happen? And I have to confess, I was stumped by it, and everyone else in the class was. And then he proceeded to say, it doesn't happen because good people in the village get together, mm-hmm. they hit the rapist in the head with a rock, and they put him in jail.
Right.
Okay, and it's the collective spirit of the good people yes. that can beat back the evil people, yeah. that they're actually in the minority. If you look at it sociologically, they're in the minority. But sometimes mm-hmm. they can get power, and they can subvert people, and they can yes. make people
do
feel
things
better.
They normally wouldn't.
Yeah, they feel better yeah. about themselves. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I'm part of something, mm-hmm. and they start to act in a way that's a. We had a gentleman on a few weeks ago. That was a cult expert, mm-hmm. and he talked yeah. about how yes. mind control is
absolutely.
Used,
and it's so textbook, it's very, like the way they brainwash individuals. Mm-hmm. And a lot of cult members are brilliant. They're very smart people.
Absolute standards yeah. and loyalty.
Yes, so, but they're smart people. They're not dumb people. They're like your brothers and sisters and your cousins, and all of a sudden they're in a cult mm-hmm. because it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Don't think brilliant is always good. Brilliant could be evil.
So let's end it on a one
positive
big,
note.
Yeah, but no, but a big meta question I have for you, mm-hmm. And maybe Deirdre has a different question, but like just a big meta question that I have in your life's work. You just said that you believe that love will always triumph evil and love is more powerful. You just said that, right? Mm-hmm. Tell us why.
I think it's beyond my brain's comprehension. It's a feeling I have. It is a sense that I have. It is observations that I've made. And we're talking with language, and language is so not
limited.
Adequate.
Limited.
Not
it's limited.
Adequate.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right.
And that's why it's important for us to create art and communicate through art as well, because when you see the works of art that are not just our planet, how beautiful it is, and creativity,
photography,
I think you can see the beauty that can balance out the trauma and the death and all that. But I can't give you a formula, and I don't think I should. Mm-hmm. I think we should all discover that for ourselves. I hope I'm right, and if we're not, well, what can I tell you, right? I'll see you on the other side, I hope, and you know. But I believe it, I feel it, I sense it, and I have seen evil. I have felt it. It has touched me many times. And I'm talking about paranormal and physical, and I still believe in love. I still believe light, love, unity, creation, abundance is much more unlimitedly powerful than anything dark.
Well, maybe that's what it's all about, though, right? You have that universality of choice and that unconditional mm-hmm. love, that you can have that free will, and now you have this choice. You yeah. have the dichotomy of what you need to choose and be. Do you have any other questions, babe?
No.
So, can we invite you back?
And I'd love to.
All right, good.
To.
I got to read this next book that you've
yes,
written.
That's
okay,
right.
We're gonna invite you back.
It touches more on the dark side here, so that would be
all right,
how to
we'll
not to mess
we'll
with spiritual tools.
We'll make that a Halloween special. Okay, we'll have you back before that, but we'll make that one a Halloween special. Yeah. But Diana Navarro, and the book that can be purchased right now is Oddball.
Oddball.
But then you also have You're Not Crazy. It's Paranormal, which is real stories and insights with included with the pretty inspiring photo collection
yeah.
there as well.
Yeah, those are fun. Those are orbs with faces in them that we just took. And, you know, it happens that places are haunted, and the owners mm-hmm. tell us afterwards. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, that's crazy. We're not crazy. So it's fun. It's very
not
fun.
Crazy. It's paranormal.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. I'm crazy, but not for that reason.
Thank you for
thank
coming.
You for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.